Chapter 9. "This is Bora," I chuckled to relieve the tension from Ebsith's assumption. "She's from Torsbane, and I promised her brother that we would keep her safe until trouble has passed in the gloom."
"Oh!"
Ebsith replied as she shot me a mischievous look.
"Then you are a welcomed guest in our home, Bora."
The curvy night elf woman embraced the pretty orc warmly, and Bora hugged her back with unself-conscious affection.
"It's so nice to finally meet you, princess,"
the seer said.
"I have heard so much about you." "Oh, I'm not a princess anymore."
Ibsith smiled and flipped her hand in an indifferent gesture.
"I am Ibsith Hill now, a wife, a sister to my fellow wives, and soon I will be a mother."
The white-haired woman placed her hand on her still flat belly and had a proud glow on her heart-shaped face.
"Congratulations,"
the orcish woman exclaimed with a warm smile. "How about you show Bora the good shower upstairs and help her get settled in?" I said to Ibsith, because I knew how much she liked showing off the luxuries of the surface. "The rest of us can take turns with the shower in the basement in the trailer."
"You can take the basement shower, Eddie,"
Nilame replied.
"I'll go over to the trailer with Amrila. I'll just grab a change of clothes. Ibsith, you can get Bora some of my clothes to borrow if nothing of yours fits. I think we're the closest in size."
And it was true. Bora was an orc, so she was taller than Ibsith and Amrila. But the Dolrath woman's shoulders were broader than the slim seer's.
"You are going to love the shower!"
Ibsith giggled as she took the willowy mystic's hand and started toward the staircase. I smiled as I watched the women go up the stairs. I knew Ibsith would love Bora. All of my wives got along and loved each other. But I always kind of felt that poor Ibsith was the odd one out at times. Amrila and Nilame would do anything for the violet-eyed woman, but they were warrior women, where Ibsith was a domestic goddess. The other two would listen when the petite woman talked about her garden, and they tolerantly accepted her lavish displays of affection because they loved her. But Amrila and Nilame had a lot more in common with each other than they did with Ibsith.
"You know Ibsith is going to try to adopt the fortune teller, right?"
the horned woman said with a mysterious smile. "Yeah," I nodded as I looked at my sexy Zinkari wife. "That's her way. It's what we all love about her."
"Damn straight."
Amrila winked at me and then went out the door to go get cleaned up. I stood in the living room by myself for a moment, and I was a content man. I'd really come to enjoy my life of adventure in the gloom, but it was good to be home, too. Then I felt something brush against my leg and looked down to see Growler as he nuzzled my hand. The Garm had patiently waited for his turn to welcome me home. "Hey, buddy." I grinned as I kneeled down to scratch his head. Growler was definitely bigger, and whatever Ibsith had been feeding him made his coat white, shiny, and healthy. Dredd padded up for some welcome head scratches, too, before he inevitably headed up the stairs to be near Ibsith. I chuckled to myself and then went upstairs myself to get some fresh clothes and drop my gear off in the bedroom. Growler followed after me like a dutiful companion, and something about that made me smile. He was definitely my dog. In the master bedroom, I checked over the Galil, dropped the mag, made sure the chamber was empty, and put it away with the safety on. Then I grabbed some clothes and headed downstairs to the partially finished basement. The shower down there was smaller than the one upstairs, but it had kinda become my bathroom in a way. I was the only one who used it, and my products were the only ones that lived down there. I got undressed and turned on the shower to let the water heat up, and Growler curled up on the tile floor and huffed happily as he went back to his half-doze. I stepped into the hot blast of the water and scrubbed away the grime of the swamp as I started to go through all of the things I wanted to get done while I was home. I thought about the porch I wanted to put on the back of the trailer, and the idea of a gate that would lead from the backyard of the trailer to the yard of the new house. That way we wouldn't have to worry about anyone seeing us in our armor or armed with rifles when we came home. Then I thought about how Nilame still needed identity papers. Travis had given me a list of new brokers, some more legit than others, but I didn't know if any of them had the same connections Owen McElfrish did. Still, the Irishman had been a little weird last time when I didn't accept his offer to invest in what was clearly some kind of money laundering front. We'd always had a good relationship, and we made a fuck ton of money together. But something about the way he acted last time rubbed me the wrong way. But Meyer trusted him, and I trusted Meyer. I paid the lawyer an awful lot of money to keep him on retainer, and I knew if nothing else, Travis wouldn't risk giving me bad advice and losing that money. When I stepped out of the shower, I got out my phone. "Hey, Owen," I typed. "I was wondering if you could help me with something. Not the kind of thing for text messages." I started to brush my teeth and think about hiring the Amish guys who had put in the metal door to the tunnel for me. They'd done a good job with it, and they worked fast. I knew they'd do an amazing job on the porch. Maybe I'd even have them put in one of those big stucco outdoor ovens for Ibsith. Then my phone dinged, and I saw it was a message from Owen. He was always up late, and I wondered if the man ever slept.
Eddie, love, I always have time for you. Got time for a call to discuss?
Sure, I typed back. Then the phone rang a moment later. Hey, Owen, I said into my cell.
Good to hear from you,
McElfris replied in his thick brogue.
Tell me, how can I help you?
I'm not sure if you'd want to talk about it over the phone, I started to say.
No worries,
Owen interrupted.
I just started using a new privacy service. You just tell me what you need.
Well, I replied, I was wondering about getting some more of those papers for a friend.
Of course,
Owen chuckled.
Got a new girlfriend, do you? You lucky dog. I have to keep all my lady friends separated so they don't get jealous.
Something like that, I snorted. Same deal as last time.
Sounds a treat,
Owen replied.
You just get me a couple of photos like the last ones. Remember to have her wear a different outfit in each so they look like they weren't taken at the same time. Plain white background. I'll be able to work them up in no time.
Thanks, Owen, I said.
Of course,
McElfers said on the other end of the line.
Gotta take care of my best customer.
Then Owen hung up, and I ran through the conversation in my head as I got dressed. The Irishman was a sketchy guy, without a doubt, but he'd always dealt fairly with me. I thought about the black sedan that had followed me and made a pass outside my house. The only connection I had between the black car and Owen was that I noticed it the first time when I left his shop. If it didn't have anything to do with Owen, then I needed to know who it was. And McElfrisch was exactly the kind of guy who could help me find out. As long as he wasn't involved, and I felt strongly like I should at least give him the benefit of the doubt for now. I went upstairs and saw none of the ladies had come back to the living room yet, so I sat on the couch, and Growler followed me and curled up at my feet. Then I got on my phone and looked for some late-night takeout options. Not a lot of places were still open in Westhurst, but there were a few fast-food places that catered to late-night bar hoppers and stoners. I ordered half the menu online and went over to the foot of the stairs. Ibsith, baby! I called up the stairwell.
Yes, my king?
The voluptuous woman appeared at the top of the steps, and I was struck by how sexy she was, with her long hair tied up in a messy bun and her matching loungewear set. Fuck, you're so beautiful, I said in a completely distracted tone.
Thank you, beloved.
My first wife purred as she came down the stairs and wrapped her smooth arms around me, with her full breasts pressed against my chest.
Was that what you called me down for?
It is now. I growled and then kissed her deeply.
I have missed you.
Ibsith breathed against my mouth.
Do I get to have you in my bed tonight?
Of course, I replied and grinned. I'm not sure whose night it was supposed to be, but I think the other ladies won't mind, since we've been away for a minute. Shit, I ordered us some food. You almost made me forget.
That's very thoughtful of you.
The white-haired woman smiled.
We can all eat and maybe watch a movie together. Those are always my favorite nights, curled up on the couch with my whole family home.
I'll be back soon, I sighed. You ladies pick something to watch, whatever you like. I'm just happy to be home with you.
Hurry back, my king.
Ibsith giggled as she gently rubbed the tip of her nose against mine.
Oh, and we're out of beer. Will you pick some up too? I never want you or my sisters to go without.
Yes, ma'am, I snorted. Come on, Growler, let's go for a car ride. My Garm hopped up from his half-doze, and he was suddenly alert as he wagged his tail and padded over to the door where he waited for me to get my boots on. I stopped by a little 24-hour gas station and got a case of beer and some jerky for me and Growler to split in the car. Then we headed over and picked up our food. Growler hunkered down in the back seat as he munched on a chewy piece of jerky, so I was able to set the food on the passenger seat where it wouldn't be temptation for the Garm. By the time we got home, everyone was shower fresh and decked out in comfortable clothes, but I had to admit that the women's lounge clothes were still sexy as fuck. Growing up, my Midwestern mother had lived in t-shirts and sweatpants, but my wives all had their own take on what to wear to lay around and watch TV. Amrila cut the collar of a band shirt so one slinky shoulder always showed, and Nyla Mae wore a tight, white tank top and jogger pants that did more to show off her firm ass and thighs than conceal them. And Ibsith lent Bulra a lavender-colored set of jammies, with silky booty shorts and an airy long-sleeved top that clung to her green skin in all the right places. It was also clear the orcish woman wore nothing under the shirt, and the curves of her perky breasts and her proud nipples were visible through the soft silk. I set the food down on the coffee table, and Dredd started to sniff at them. "Hey!" I chuckled. "No, Dredd, that's not for you. Come on." I led the two Garms out to the door and let them into the backyard of the trailer, since part of the fence of the new house was still pulled up while Brock moved his onto his side of the property line. Then I went back into the new house, cracked open a beer, and snuggled up on the couch with my wives for an evening of food and movies. That night, Ibsith and I made up for some lost time in the master bedroom before we fell asleep in each other's arms, and I woke up refreshed and ready for a few days off at home. Ibsith was already up, like always, and I could smell coffee and bacon from downstairs. When I came down to the kitchen, Bulra was up too, and busy helping the petite elf woman.
"I can't believe you don't have to build a fire to cook,"
the willowy orc commented while she minded the pan of bacon as it sizzled on the stove. "Morning, ladies." I smiled as I walked in and got some fresh coffee.
"Good morning, my king,"
Ibsith replied with a glow on her heart-shaped face.
"Good morning, Eddie,"
Bulra said shyly from the stove. "I was thinking about what we should do today," I mentioned as I sat at the table with my black cup of coffee. "We still need to pick out some furniture for the baby's room."
"There's a room for just the baby,"
Bulra sounded surprised.
"Oh, the baby will sleep with me at first,"
Ibsith answered firmly.
"But once they start to sleep through the night, there is a whole room just for them. Eddie is a wonderful provider. He has even bought a third house for Nilame and plans to buy more. I have never heard of a man buying a house for each of his wives,"
Bulra said in an odd tone.
"You are generous, even for a king."
"I'm not actually a king," I snorted. "That's more a rumor that got out of hand." Nilame wandered into the kitchen then, and she was already dressed in a pair of snug, boot-cut jeans and a loose-fitted crop top that showed off her washboard abs. The Dolrath woman gave me a good morning kiss before she got herself some coffee. Then Ibsith and Bulra brought plates piled high with eggs, bacon, and buttered toast to the table as Amrila came into the new house from the trailer. The Zinkari woman had on a tight, black long-sleeved shirt tucked into even tighter black skinny jeans, and she yawned as she accepted her coffee from Ibsith.
"Then you're not really a goblin, are you, Eddie?"
the mystic asked as everyone started to serve themselves.
"I do not wish to pry. I know it's important for you to keep your secrets and protect your family. But I have to admit, I'm burning with curiosity."
"I'm not a goblin," I said after a pause to think how much I wanted to tell this seer. "And since you're going to be spending some time here, there's probably no point in trying to hide the truth from you."
"That we're in the world above, where humans and monsters dwell?"
Bulra asked with some apprehension. "Humans, yes. Monsters, no." I sipped my coffee. "At least not anything like you would think of as monsters. I know I've said it before, but it's very important you don't talk about anything you see or learn about up here. I'm not just trying to protect Ibsith. I'm trying to protect the gloom, too. Humans aren't good or bad. They're always a mix of both, like any kind of people. And I don't even want well-meaning humans knowing about the gloom."
"Why not?"
Bulra asked with a curious expression as she ate some eggs. "Because even well-meaning humans can do fucked up shit," I replied. "We're curious by nature, and there would be people who want to study the gloom or take advantage of its resources. It's better that as few people up here and down there know about it as possible."
"Then I will keep your secret safe, Eddie,"
the green-skinned woman replied with complete sincerity.
"I wouldn't want to be the one to hurt your family, or the gloom."
As we finished breakfast, my wives explained to Bulra how they all said they were cosplayers, or from the old country, if anyone asked them questions. Then, as Ibsith and Bulra got dressed, I went over to the trailer to feed and water the Garms, before we piled into the Rubicon for a day out in the city. Bulra borrowed a mix of Ibsith and Nilame's clothes, and she looked warm and cozy in one of my first wife's sweaters and a pair of figure-hugging boot-cut jeans. Meanwhile, Ibsith dressed in a slinky sundress with a long cardigan over it. Since we were in the part of an Ohio fall where a second fall summer started before the really cold weather began. We spent a couple of hours in a store that specializes in baby furniture, and Ibsith was on cloud nine. As my first wife picked out a crib and sheets with little chubby animals printed on them, I went around and looked at toys and clothes, so tiny it was hard to believe they were meant for a living thing. My mind filled with images of a baby in my arms, or teaching them to walk and talk, and I couldn't keep the smile off my face. I couldn't wait to be a dad. But that was still 8 or 9 months away. Then another thought hit me. What if I threw Ibsith a baby shower? The white-haired woman spent so much time taking care of everyone else, it would be nice for her to have a day that was all about her. I pulled out my phone and dialed Jay's number.
Hey, what's up, man?
My best friend answered.
I haven't heard from you in a minute.
I know. I chuckled. Sorry, I've been busy. But I was wondering if you and Enid could help me with something. More Enid, really.
Of course,
Jay replied in a light tone.
Anything for you, man. What's up?
I need help throwing a baby shower. I don't know shit about it. I sighed. Like, don't they play games and stuff, like the one where you melt candy bars and diapers and then you have to guess what it is? There was a long pause as Jay took in what I had just said.
First of all, that's gross,
my friend snorted.
And second, you're having a baby? That's huge, Mazel Tov!
Thanks, man, I smiled. Ibsith is pregnant. She's not showing yet or anything, and I know it's kind of last minute, but I'd like to do it soon because I have a business trip coming up.
You clearly don't know Enid,
Jay laughed.
Girl could do a full-on wedding with one day's notice. She's thrown 3 showers for friends of hers in the past 6 months, and she loves Ibsith. I'm sure she'd be more than happy to help.
Awesome. I grinned and then looked around to make sure Ibsith was still on the other side of the store. It doesn't have to be anything big, just a small get-together at my place.
That's going to be easy for her, then,
Jay replied.
I'll call her and give her your number. I'm sure she's going to have questions, so it'll be easier for her to talk to you directly.
Thanks, man, I said into my cell. You're the best. I got off the phone and was filled with a sense of excitement. It would be fun to surprise Ibsith with a party and have the neighbors we were friendly with over. And I got to hang out with Jay, which was always a good time. 5 minutes later, I walked back to where the ladies looked at rocking chairs, and my phone dinged with a text from an unknown number.
OMG, do you have a theme picked out? How many guests? Where are you registered? Also, this is Enid.
I chuckled and paid for the baby stuff, and we went to grab some lunch before we headed home. I had to covertly text back and forth with Enid as we made plans, but Ibsith was so happy and deep into plans for how she would arrange the baby's room that she hardly noticed. Once we were home, the 5 of us all brought in the bags and boxes, and I put together baby furniture for the rest of the afternoon. Well, I finalized some details with Enid, who turned out to be a very enthusiastic cohort. The plan was to have it 2 days from now, so I would have time to get some of the neighbors to come. Then we spent another nice evening in together. Ibsith and Bulra made dinner, and I was glad the mystics seemed to fit in well with my wives. The orcish woman took to the others right away, and she and Ibsith became fast friends. As we sat together on the couch to watch some TV, my phone dinged again. I assumed it would be Enid with another question she hadn't thought of earlier, but then I saw Owen McElfrish's name on the screen.
Your order's in, love. Can I expect you tonight, or should I close up shop?
I can come pick it up, I typed back after I looked at the time and saw it was only 9 o'clock. Be there soon. I gotta go, ladies. I apologized as I got up. I gotta pick up some stuff from Owen. I'll probably be back late.
Of course, beloved,
Ibsith replied as she gave me a quick kiss goodbye. I gave my other wives a kiss and said goodnight to Bulra, grabbed my Glock, just in case, and took the jeep to Cleveland. Owen's shop was dark except for a single light near the door, and I could see Ricky as he waited to let me in. The broad guy had on a bright green tracksuit today, and a pistol stuck out of his waistband. It was a big change from his usual all-black tracksuit, and brought out his freckles that I hadn't noticed before.
Eddie!
Ricky greeted me with a smile.
How's it going?
Really good, I replied as I stepped into the stark white and black interior of the stylish jewelry store. Have you been?
Okay,
Ricky shrugged.
Boss had to start this group therapy thing for team building. You know what the lady said to me? She said I try to project an intimidating image that makes me unapproachable. Do you think I'm unapproachable?
No, I lied to spare the big guy's feelings. I've always thought you seemed real approachable.
See?
Ricky said in a tone that sounded glad to have someone agree with him.
That's what I said! The therapist lady said I should try to wear more color, though. Oh, what do you think?
It brings out your brown eyes, I grinned. And that might work with the ladies. They love a guy with kind eyes.
Hey, that's a good point,
Ricky smirked and seemed to stand a little straighter.
Boss is in the back waiting for you.
Thanks, Ricky. I chuckled and headed to the back of the shop. Owen was in his office with his feet up on the desk as he played on his phone, but when I knocked and stepped through the partially open door, the short man dropped his feet down and stood to shake my hand with a friendly smile.
"Good to see ya,"
McAlfer said as we shook hands, and then he offered me a seat.
"Doing well, I trust."
"I'm great, thanks," I answered as I sat down. "How are you? Ricky mentioned you had them doing group therapy."
"I thought it might help some of the lads,"
Owen replied as he settled into his desk chair.
"I had to do some anger management courses for a thing and came away a new man. Really gave me some perspective. Can't put a price on your mental health, really."
"Sure," I blandly agreed, since I'd never had to have therapy of any kind myself. "Glad it worked out for you."
"It really did,"
the Irishman said as he started to rummage around a drawer of his desk and pulled out a large manila envelope.
"This is for you. If you're happy with it, you can have Travis wire the money to me. He'll be able to do it on the down low."
"Thanks." I took the envelope and looked through it. Everything seemed to be in order, which left only one thing I needed to know before I left. "There's something I wanted to ask you about while I'm here," I said in as light a tone as I could manage.
"Did you bring some goodies for me to look at?"
Owen perked up in his chair.
"Not this time,"
I replied as I chose my words carefully. "But I'd like to think we have a good business relationship, and I respect you too much to beat around the bush. Did you have a car follow me home the last time I was here?"
"What?"
Owen seemed suddenly intense and sat straight up behind his large desk. "There was a black sedan that followed me after I left here last time," I explained as I watched McAlfresh's reaction. I knew both of us were probably armed and a knot formed in my stomach.
"A black sedan?"
Owen repeated as he narrowed his eyes.
"I'd like to make something very clear, Addie love. You've made me a very rich man, and one thing I don't do is shit where I eat. You're my boy, and I'd like to think you're my friend. And if there's some fuck out there trying to follow you, I take that really seriously."
I looked the dark-haired man in his blue eyes and gauged his reaction. Owen was pissed, but not at me. He also didn't seem at all defensive or as if he was trying to hide something. I believed him.
"Okay,"
I replied as I relaxed a little. "I had to be sure it wasn't you, but that leaves the question of who it was."
"You got any enemies?"
the Irishman asked with genuine concern.
"Anyone who'd like to know what you're up to or who'd wish you harm?"
"I've had some trouble with a neighbor," I replied with a shrug, "but I don't think he'd go that far. But I've seen the car outside my house too now, and that's concerning."
"Not to put too fine a point on it,"
Owen said as he leaned back in his desk chair,
"but I could have someone pay him a visit."
"Oh, God. I appreciate the offer, Owen," I chuckled to relieve the tension, "but I don't think that's necessary. It's just a neighborhood rivalry, and I'm not sure if he'd even do something like that. He's a dick, but an impotent one."
"I know a thing or two about this kind of thing,"
McAlfer said with a serious expression.
"And if you noticed you were being followed, it was an intimidation tactic. Otherwise, they'd have been more careful. There's things I can do to help. Maybe have some of my boys keep an eye on your house for you."
"No," I replied quickly, but I didn't want to seem like I didn't trust the guy. "I can take care of myself, but if there's any way you can figure out who it is, that'll be a big help."
"I'll make some calls and see what I can suss out,"
Owen nodded.
"But all you have to do is say the word, and I'll have some boys there like that."
McAlfer snapped his fingers to show how quick it could be. I appreciated the man's concern, but once I knew who was in the black sedan, I preferred to take care of it myself. It was something me and my wives would handle.